Listen, we have a very special dedication this morning. Today's dot is dedicated by Shoshana Lerner and family in honor of the birthday of their beloved husband and father, Rabbi Ari Lerner. I may have asked him, Shana, and I was asked to read a special message. We're still friends, right? I was asked to do it.
Here we go.
Don't shoot the messenger.
I'm just doing my job. Mazel tov and happy birthday to my best friend and eternal partner, Ari. This is not me talking. I just want to be clear. I'm just reading the message. May Hashem continue for 120 years to guide you and protect you and grant you brios, simcha, brachas, parnasa, tova. And may Hashem always answer all of your tefilos l'tova. May today's Talmud Torah be specifically added to all of your beautiful zechuyos as an eternal gift from me to you in an expression of my love for you and the hakaras hatov I have for you and your learning Torah every day. You give me and our beautiful family so much Yiddish and nachas. Thank you and happy birthday. Love, Shoshana. Mazel tov, Ari. I may have asked him Shoshana himself. Shkoyach.
That's from all of us.
That was your brother-in-law. Does anyone else have something you want to share about Ari? I'm sorry. I'm not going to resist. This is Ari. It's beautiful. Zachisa. This is beautiful.
Tell us your secret,
Ari. All right, Tavosei. You know, the daf seems so ordinary after that, you know? All right, Tavosei. So today's daf is Nun Hei Amud Aleph. We are picking up from Nun Dalud Amud Beis, the last line. Amar li Ravashi Ravina. So what Ravashi said to Ravina, remember again the Gemara, we're actually picking up on a little bit of a side point, although the primary topic we were dealing with was the topic of Chomesh, specifically again, under what circumstances, when you redeem something that is Kodesh, under what circumstances do you have the ability to go ahead and add, or do you have an obligation to add on an additional fifth? So if you remember again, the Gemara spoke about the concept of a behemoth meya, that if one is makdish a behemoth meya, then one goes ahead and redeems that. That again, the Gemara seemed to indicate, or the pasuk seemed to indicate, that under certain circumstances, one would have to be mosif chomesh. So the Gemara said, "Amli Ravashi Ravina." So Ravashi said to Ravina, "Behemoth meya, a non-kosher animal, betchilas hekdish isa." Be'emtza, on top of Nunhei Amud Aleph, be'emtza hekdish lesa. So we'll say, remember again, just to go ahead and define our terms a little bit. So what we call tchilas hekdish, we'll call it primary hekdish, but for our purposes, what that means is you go over to an animal and you're makdish the animal. I hereby consecrate the animal. So that's called tchilas hekdish. So Ravashi said to Ravina, that's what? That a behemoth tmeya, a non-kosher animal, you have the ability to consecrate it in a primary fashion, but emtza hekdish lesson. Now what's emtza hekdish? What's middle hekdish? So look at Rashi, first Rashi and Nunhei Amud Aleph. Says Rashi, be emtza hekdish lesa, nehid debesof hekdish lo mishkachas lo. So let's say, so first of all, what Rashi is also cluing us into is, there are essentially three different stages of hekdish, or three different parts of the hekdish framework. There's tchilas hekdish, the beginning of hekdish, emtza hekdish, the middle of hekdish, and sof hekdish, the end of hekdish. So Rashi jumps for just a moment to sof hekdish. Look at the top Rashi again. Be'emtza hekdish lesa, nehit ba'sof hekdish lo mishkachas la. So we'll say, there is no question that a behema tmeya has no shaychus, has no connection to what we call end stage hekdish. Why? Because what's end stage hekdish? Mishum de official. Thank you. It's very sweet. Mishum de lav lemizbeach chazio for the shaka bebinyan. So we'll say end stage hekdish manifests itself in one of two ways. Either you're offered up on the mizbeach, or B, you actually become part of Bedek HaBayis, right? You become part of the structure of the Beis HaMikdash. Obviously, again, a behemoth tmeya is not shayach to either of these. A behemoth tmeya cannot be offered up as a korban, nor is a behemoth tmeya usable for Bedek HaBayis. Therefore, says Rashi, it goes without saying that a behemoth tmeya has no shaychas, has no connection to what we call sof hekdish. However, mihu behekdish, I'm finishing Rashi, mihu behekdish sheni, mishkachas, rabosai, a secondary hekdish. What's secondary hekdish? Shematfisa tachas acher. So here's what we know. We know, for example, you could be makdish a behemoth tmeya. Now what the Gemara is suggesting is what we call be'emtza hekdish. Emtza hekdish means, let's say you take a consecrated item and you want to transfer that sanctity of the item onto a behemoth tmeya. That would be secondary hekdesh rabosai. So meaning, again, it's not the primary item that's been hukdash, but the sanctity of something else has been transferred onto this animal. So the Gemara just suggests over here, I should say, Ravash is Ravina, that a behemoth tameya, you're able to go ahead and consecrate it, what we call betchilas hekdesh, but it does, by behemtze hekdesh lesa, amrlei, lefi she'ino besof hekdesh, and why is that? Because again, since a behemah tameya can't come to what we call end stage hekdesh, as we just said before, because it can't be offered up as a karban, nor could it be used for bedek habayis. Therefore, the Gemara is suggesting over here that because it can't get to sof hekdesh, therefore what? It's not shayach to emtze hekdesh either. Amrali Rav Acha midifti Ravina. So Rav Acha of Difti said to Ravina, but one second, beemtze hekdesh mia isa. I don't understand why you say that. Why can't you say that a behemah tameya is subject to what we call emtze hekdesh? So we'll say again, remember, just to define our terms, tchilas hekdesh means you actually unmakdish the item. Emtza hekdish means you transfer the sanctity of something else onto this item. And sof hekdish means use on the mizbeach or in bedek habayis. So Rav Acha of Difti says to Ravina, So Rav Ashi says to Ravina, it would appear to me that a behema tameya is not shaykh to emtza hekdish. It's not shaykh to middle hekdish. Why? Because the only time you can be shaykh to middle hekdish is if you're shaykh to sof hekdish. And because for what? Therefore, lemaisa, you cannot go ahead and use it for emtze hekdesh either. Comes along Rav Acha of Difti and says to Ravina, but one second, be'emtze hekdesh mia isa, I don't understand why you say that. Even if we all agree that a behemoth tameya can't get to the stage of sof hekdesh, which Rabbi say everybody agrees with, but why would that preclude it from getting to the status of emtze hekdesh, velosif nami chomesh? And therefore, because it should be shaykh to emtze hekdesh, if you redeem it from that middle state of hekdesh, what should be the halacha, Rabbi say? The halacha should be that you should have to add on a chomesh, a fifth, amalei, Rabbi say again, because remember, going back to yesterday's dapim, what we've seen already through the last couple of dapim, that chomesh is an extra surcharge on any time that you redeem hekdesh. So then, amalei, harihu kisof hekdesh? No, because in reality, it should be treated like sof hekdesh. How so? Mas of hekdesh ain't a mosif chomesh, because we'll say if you redeem something in end stage hekdesh, you don't have to go ahead and add on a chomesh. Av emtza hekdesh ain't a mosif chomesh. So it's Rabbi say in the middle stage of hekdesh, one should not have to add on a chomesh as well. Armali Rav Zutra Breid Rav Mari Ravina, my chosis dimidamis le sof hekdesh, nidmiye litrilas hekdesh. So says Gemara Rabbi say something very interesting. So now, at least according to this opinion, that the behemoth tameya could come to middle stage hekdesh, emtz hekdesh, which means what Rabbi say, that you could transfer the sanctity of an already sanctified item, let's say, onto a behemoth tameya. So now let's take for a moment that right now the position that we are quoting agrees to this fact. Now the shaila is, what do you compare emtz hekdesh to? Do you compare emtz hekdesh to tchilas hekdesh, to the first stage hekdesh, or you compare emtz hekdesh to what? To sof hekdesh, to end stage hekdesh. What's the nafkamina? Oh, the nafkamina is like this. Good. The nafkamina is, do you have to pay an extra chomesh when you redeem it? If you compare it to tchilas hekdesh, you have to pay an extra chomesh. If you compare it ultimately to sof hekdesh, you don't have to pay an extra chomesh. So the Gemara is suggesting over here that you should compare emtze hekdesh to sof hekdesh, just like sof hekdesh doesn't have a chomesh, so too emtze hekdesh doesn't have a chomesh. But ask the Gemara, or ask Rav Zutra, Breid Rav Mari to Ravina, why? Why do you assume that you're comparing emtze hekdesh to sof hekdesh and therefore no chomesh? Nidmi letchilas hekdesh. Compare it to first stage hekdesh and what? Pei chomesh. Amrlei mistaber lesof hekdesh havilei ledemuyei. He says, no, it appears to me clear that you should compare emtze hekdesh to sof hekdesh. Why? Shekin nitvas mi nitvas. Because they will say it makes sense to go ahead and compare something. Nitvas, Rav Osai means, nitvas literally in this context means permanent. But what it means over here is it makes sense to compare something that has an inherent kedusha, something that has an inherent kedusha. What do I mean by inherent kedusha? As opposed to a transferred kedusha. So because hekdesh rishon, or I should say, what's the lashon? Tchilas hekdesh and sof hekdesh, both have a primary sense of kedusha, as opposed to emtza hekdesh, which is a transferred form of kedusha. Therefore, it makes sense to compare it to tchilas hekdesh. Ki nitvas mi nitvas. Adirab says the Gemara, letchilas hekdesh havelei ledemuye, shekein davar sheyesh lo achar of kedusha, mi davar sheyesh lo achar of kedusha. The Gemara says, no, you know what? You should compare emtza hekdesh to tchilas hekdesh, Rabosai, because remember, when you get to sof hekdesh, there is no stage of hekdesh after that. But you should compare, remember, emtze hekdesh does have another stage of hekdesh after it. Rishon, or I should say, tchilas hekdesh, also has another stage of Hekdesh after it. Therefore, it makes more sense to compare Emtza Hekdesh to Tchilas Hekdesh. Why? Because each of them have a next step of Kiddusha that follows. Therefore, the halacha should be that what? That the same way you have to pay a chomesh when you redeem Tchilas Hekdesh, you should also have to pay a chomesh when you redeem Emtza Hekdesh. The Gemara says, Kida Amar Rabba Ha'ola. So we'll say, listen to this. So the Gemara says, because after all we see Ha'ola. Now the pasuk over here is talking about, the pasuk says, Va'ishal Mizbeach Tu Kabalo Sikbeh, Ubir Allah Akwen Eitzi Baboker Baboker, Va'arach Allah Ha'ola. You shall offer up the Ola. Now what Ola is it talking about? This is talking about the Tamid Shal Shachar. The first thing offered up on the Mizbeach every single morning was the morning communal offering. So watch this. Rava says, Ha'ola, Ola Rishona. So we'll say, Ha'ola teaches us that what? That the first thing that goes on the Mizbeach has to be the Tamid Shal Shachar. Now look at Rashi for just a moment. Ha'ola, Dichsiv Gabi, it's almost right across. It's almost right across. Ha'ola, we'll say, you know, in life, it's very important to have a Karas HaTov, even for very little things. Sometimes when you're learning a Daf Gemara, and Rashi happens to be right across from the place where you are up to in the Gemara. It's a gift. Meaning, even that you have to be Makir Tov. I don't know who you're Makir Tov to the printer, to whoever it is, but at least to the Ribono Shel Olam. I'm saying, on a serious note, that you have to, don't have to search around for a Rashi. It's a little bit of a bonus. Hakar Satov for that. Ha'ola, look at Rashi. Ha'ola. Dechsiv Gabi Seda Hamarach. So we'll say the Pasuk is talking about over here by arranging the Mizbeach in the morning. Ubir Aleha Koin Eitzim Baboker Baboker. Va'arach Aleha Ha'ola. So, hey, Yisera Dorish. So, both remember, the Pasuk could have just said, Va'arech Aleha Ola. Why does it have to say Ha'ola? What's the hey there? So, hey, Yisera Dorish, Shetehei Hi Rishona, Shelo Yehei Hector, Kodim L'Tamid Shal Shachar. So, both say, what it teaches us is that nothing comes before the Tamid Shal Shachar. So, Ha'ola teaches us that it is the first thing offered up on the Mizbeach, before Ketores, before anything else, Ha'ola. So why is this important for us, Shabbosai? Ha'chanami hatmeya. But remember again, what's the pasuk we're talking about? The pasuk we're recording was in the end of Amud Beis. It was actually Yehuda did in yesterday's daf. Ve'en bebehema hatmeya. So the Gemara, Rav Darsh is just like Ha'ola means, that's what? The Ola has to be the first thing offered on the Mizbeach. So when the pasuk says hatmeya, it tells you that what? Tameya Rishona tells you the Rabbosai, only what we call Trilas Hekdesh. Only the first level of consecration of a Behema Tameya is subject to the laws of Chomesh. Any other subsequent grade, or any subsequent level of Hekdesh, what we call again Emtze Hekdesh, or there is no Sof Hekdesh, but Emtze Hekdesh is not subject to the laws of Chomesh. So Tanya Kavat, Rav Shoban Levi, Shabbos say, well, let's finish the Sugya. We have a brisa that supports Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi. Remember, Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi was quoted on Amud Beis yesterday. So what's the brisa? Listen, it's actually a fascinating brisa. Parazu tachas parashal hekdesh. Well, so listen to this. I want to go ahead and I'm redeeming, not swapping, right? But I'm redeeming my parah. So I consecrated my cow, and I want to redeem the cow that I consecrated with another cow. So I say, parazu, tachas parashal hekdesh. This cow that I'm bringing out, we call cow B, shall be consecrated instead of cow A. Or talis zu, tachas talshal hekdesh. So you understand, it's not a question of semantics. You can't call it a swap. Why? Because if you call it a swap, what is that called? Right, that's called tmura. Right, so remember again, if you do tmura, so what's the halacha? Both animals are consecrated. So this is not a swap. This is a deconsecration. I'm deconsecrating A onto B, and that's totally permitted. So remember again. So the halacha is: so I say this cow should be instead of this cow, or this talis should be consecrated instead of this talis. What's the halacha? I'm sorry. Talis talis talis. So the halacha is. Hekdesho padui. So the halachas are both saying the exchange or the redemption works. The yad hekdesh al ha'oyona. But I will say there is one caveat, which is hekdesh always, right, the house always wins. Right, hekdesh gets the better end of the deal. Now what do I mean by that? Take a look at Rashi. Rashi is hekdesho padui. Afa pi shlo sham damim ketsuvim. So we'll say, now here's the interesting part in this case. The interesting part is, okay, you're doing cow for cow or talus for talus. Now what's the great unknown in this case? Values. So over here, so obviously if the values are the same, shalom ha'yisrael. What if the values aren't the same? So Rashi says over here, afa pi shlo sham damim. Even though again, I have not valuated the actual value of the cow that's about to become hekdish. The kutuv in the kaimalon hekdish shave mana shechilo shave pruta mechula b'sharles nuimine umiyo yad hekdish alal yomeshim domim halalu yisirim al dene hekdish kame hekdish dim hekdish yes alayhem yashin al karakum. So we'll say the answer really is it doesn't really matter because the manushak. Let's play this out. It's like my cow is hekdish. My cow is hekdish. Cow A. I decide I want to deconsecrate cow A onto cow B. And I can do that. So I deconsecrate the cow B, now it becomes hekdish. So manashah. There are one or two possibilities. Well, there are three possibilities. Possibility one, which is? Same value. Good, that's easy. Possibility two, right? Cow B is less worth, is worth less than cow A. So okay, no problem. Cow B still becomes hekdish. And what? I owe the difference to the Beis HaMikdash. But the interesting case is the following. Let's say cow B is worth more than cow A. So I show up at the Beis HaMikdash with cow B, expecting the Gizbar to give me a shtickle refund, right, for the difference between cow A and cow B. And the Gizbar tells me, thank you, have a nice day. Yad hekdish al ha'alyona. So if the second animal that you are redeeming the first animal with is worth more than animal A, that difference in value ultimately goes to the Beis HaMikdash. Next case. Parazu b'chamesh slam. Parazu b'chamesh slam. So we'll say the next case is the following. The next case is where, same case, I consecrated cow A, I'm now looking to redeem cow A with cow B. So in this case over here, I've attached values. Parazu b'chamesh slam, tachas parashal hekdish. This cow, which is cow B, which is worth 5 slam, should redeem the cow that I consecrated before. Or talis zu b'chamesh slam, or this talis, which is worth 5 slam, tachas talis shal hekdish, should redeem ultimately again the talis that belongs to hekdish. What's talach rabosai? Hekdesho padui. Ultimately, again, it's a proper redemption. Now look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says, talis zu b'chamesh slam, hekdesho padui, afa pi sheno shove. See, even though, again, it's not worth that, v'lo tema hoyo b'sham l'damim, v'eno shove kama sha'amar, ein devar of klum, ela hekdesh padui v'hu yashim. So both say, the chap over here is, even though in this case I've gone ahead and articulated an explicit value for this item, the halacha is still the same as before, which is even if this item is worth more or worth less, well, if it's worth more, Beis HaMikdash keeps the difference. If it's worth less, I have an obligation to make up the remainder to the Beis HaMikdash. But here's the important part to close out our conversation. Al hekdish rishon mosif chomesh. Al hekdish sheni ein mosif chomesh. Shabbos said the Braisa supports Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, who said that what? That lemaisa again. Hekdish rishon. Shabbos said, so just for our purposes, what does hekdish rishon mean? Hekdish rishon means first time, meaning I take an animal that is a chulin animal and I makdish it. That's called hekdish rishon. If I then choose to go ahead and what? If I choose to redeem that animal, right? So the halacha is I have to pay a chomesh. But for example, if I redeemed animal A with animal B, and now I seek to go ahead and redeem animal B, what's the halacha, Rabosai? We do not add on a chomesh. That's what Rabbi Shua ben Levi's shita. The chomesh only goes on the first animal of consecration, but not on the transfer of consecration. Says the Mishnah, ha'ona arba kesef. So again, the Mishnah restates that which we learned before. Ona is, remember, four silver pieces out of 24, which is another way of saying ona is a sixth. One sixth is ona. V'atayna shtei kesef. So wasn't ever going to get some interesting halachas. So the tayna shtei kesef. Now what does this mean? Take a look at Rashi. V'atayna shtei kesef. She'en shvuas hadayonin ala tayna pechusa mishtei ma'os shiit enu shave shtei kesef. Yesh tevi adecha. V'zeyode lo mehem shave pruta. V'yichpar hashar o yoda kol v'yichpar pruta. So what's the halacha is the following. That a mode of a mikzas case can only occur. Remember, Modi makes us as partial admission. But before we get to the partial admission, the Mishnah is saying is the claim must be worth 2 silver pieces. In order for a Modi b'miktas case to unfold, the initial claim must be worth at least 2 silver pieces. Then what plays out over here is, I tell Reuven, you owe me 2 silver pieces. Reuven says, no, I only owe you 1, right? Or I only owe you half. But the initial claim must be at least for 2 silver pieces, as we'll discuss. Next, v'ha'oda shave pruta, the bosan emot de b'miktas case, you have to admit that you owe at least a pruta, right? So again, in order to be chayiv shua, meaning if you admit that you owe less than a pruta, such a statement like that is meaningless. In order to trigger moda mitzvah shua, you have to admit that you owe at least a pruta. Next, the chamish pruta sein. I will say now there are five cases in which a pruta is a significant amount. How does have a pruta? So we just said before that a moda mitzvah case, you know, michayiv shua if you admit at least a pruta. Next, va'isha miskadesh shava pruta, and a woman becomes mikudeshes with an object that is worth at least a pruta. Va'nenem shava pruta min a hektish shmal, and I will say in order to be chayiv meila, you have to get at least a pruta's worth of hana'a from the consecrated object. Va'amotzi shaver pruta chayiv la'achris. And I will say, if you find the shaver pruta, you're obligated to go ahead and announce it. We learned that earlier in Eilu Metzias. Va'gozel as chavero shaver pruta v'nishpalo. I will say, watch this. And if I stole a shaver pruta from my friend, and what? I swore that I did not steal anything from him. Yolichenu acharav afilu lamadai. We saw that halacha, that you have to find him. We'll say the halacha is, if I stole the shaver pruta and I lied about it, I have to track him down wherever he may be in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Ehesha v'Sagazela. So those are the cases in which pruta makes a difference. Let's go right there. Tanina chadazimna. So ask the Gemara, I don't understand. Why are you restating the halachos of Ona? Right, we already learned the halachos of Onoa once. Ha'onoa arba kesef me'esem ve'arba kesef l'sela. We said that was three mishnayis ago, right? We learned this on Thursday, that Onoa is a sixth, right? We already learned this. Why do you have to restate it over here? To which the Gemara says, shesus l'mekach ha'tayna. I'm sorry, shesus l'mekach. So to which the Gemara says, ha'tayna shtei kesef v'odosh shaveh itzrichale. To which the Gemara says, you're right. We don't really need the Ona case, but that was kind of just done as an introduction to the next two halachos, which are Atabosai, that in order to have a mod of a mixas situation, the initial claim had to have been at least two silver pieces, and the Hoda, the admission, the partial admission, has to be on at least a pruta. So what the Gemara is kind of saying is, once we knew we wanted to speak about that by mod of a mixas, the initial claim must be for at least two silver pieces, once we're talking about silver, the Mishnah kind of threw in here again the laws of Onah, which ultimately are brought down in relationship to silver. Okay, to which the Gemara says, I don't understand. Hanami Tanina. But we learned those halachas as well already. Shvuas hadayonin hatayne shtei kesef, vauda shaver pruta. But we already learned this halacha elsewhere as well. That was said by Moda b'miktsas, the initial claim must be for at least two silver pieces. And the Gemara there learns that out. The Gemara in Kiddush, we saw this, and we'll see it again. And Shavuos learns this out, and the Hodah, the admission, must be for at least a Pruta. So again, why does the Mishnah need to quote those two cases? We learn that elsewhere as well. Of which the Gemara says, Seifa Tzrichale, you're right. All of this was all an introduction, I will say, for the end of the Mishnah, because what was the end of the Mishnah? Diktani, Chamesh, Prutos, Hein. So I will say, all this was an introduction for the end of the Mishnah, because the end of the Mishnah said there are five interesting cases of Prutos. And I will say, let's dig into those cases. Chamesh, Prutos, Hein. There are five different cases of Prutos. Melisni Nami, Ho'onoa Pruta. To ask the Gemara, I don't understand. Why don't you also include over here that there is a case of Ona'a b'pruta? In other words, remember, we saw this before. Ona'a, right? Once you get over a sixth, even if you're a pruta over a sixth, the pashas, that's already Ona'a. So why not go ahead and mention that here as well? Am Rav Kahana, Zosomeres ein Ona'a l'prutos. This is actually quite interesting. This would appear to say that what? That Lamaisa, according to this opinion in the Mishnah, Ona'a does not apply to Prutos. What does that mean? Look at Rashi. Ein Ona'a l'Prutos, bepachos mi'isir shumat be'ah shel kesef. They will say, apparently, the shear for Ona'a is not measured in Prutos. And in fact, the shear for Ona'a is, you have to be overcharged by at least an isser over the 1/6 amount. That it has to be the unit of an isser, not the unit of a pruta. The chain tana Levi masnise, so to Levi also quoted this, but say in Levi's version of our Mishnah, he had the following. Chamesh prutos hein. There are five different cases of pruta. What are the five different cases of pruta? So listen to this. Ona'a, overcharging. Sorry. Ha'ona pruta. So we'll say if you overcharge by a pruta, by ona, you're chayiv. Va'ha'oda pruta. If you're mo'de b'miktsas, right? If you're mo'de b'miktsas on a pruta, you're chayiv. V'kidushe isha b'pruta. Kind of shum with a pruta. The Gemara says, v'gezel b'pruta. And if you steal a pruta, you're chayiv for that. V'yeshivas hadayonin b'pruta. Now we'll say he introduces something interesting over here. Look at Rashi. What does it mean? The yeshivas hadayon v'pruta. Rashi says, "Lamisha yesh lo eden o shechayiv moda v'dochehu milashalim yesh hadayon v'chvulos." So, let's listen to this. If I have a claim against someone, ultimately again, and let's say there are witnesses that support my claim, but the guy is not paying me. So over here, the case is no longer contested. It's recognizable that he owes me the money, but he's squirming out of paying me. So we'll say, so in that case, Beis Din sits down, and Beis Din will get him to pay. Beis Din only sits down for what? For a case of a pruta or more. If the claim is for some reason for less than a pruta, there is no yeshivas hadayonah. V'tana didon, my time alo katani yeshivas dayanin. So we'll say, so why doesn't our Mishnah bring down the case of yeshivas dayanin? Right? Remember again, why doesn't our Mishnah quote the case that Beis Din will only convene for a claim of a pruta or more? Tani legezel. To which the Gemara says the Mishnah did. That's kind of the case of Gezel. The case of theft means what? Beis Din will only adjudicate a theft case if it's a Gezel or more. Milo tani Gezel v'katani aveda. But one second, that's not true. Because remember, so what the Gemara is essentially suggesting is the reason why our Tana did not include the case of Yeshivas Dayanin is why? Because Yeshivas Dayanin is under the umbrella of Gezel, of theft. But if that's the case, says the Gemara, Milo Tani Gezel, Vekatani Aveda. But one second, the Mishnah says both Gezel and Aveda. And both say we would assume that's what? Those are to a certain degree certain sister concepts. Right? On one hand, again, you have Gezel, which is theft. On the other hand, Aveda, something lost. So again, I would think that once you go ahead and look at Rashi, Tani Gezel, Mechevan, the Tani Gezel, the Pruta, Shmamino Mamono, Hivekafina. So you will say, once you hold that you need to have at least a Pruta in order to have a claim of theft, that means what? Pruta is the most basic threshold of what's considered Mamon, money. Once it's, so then that same threshold should apply for what? Should apply for lost objects as well. In other words, again, I only have to go ahead and announce something that is significant. What is it significant? Apparently, if it's a pruta. So once you tell me by Gezel, I automatically know by Aveda. Yet, the Mishnah still feels compelled to what? To what? To say both of them. If that's the case, then why not add in Yeshivas Dayanin as well? To which the Gemara says, no, no, no. Hanach, it's Shrichale. Now, the truth is, those cases, you need both of those cases, and I'll tell you why it says the Gemara. Because each of them have a unique aspect. Gezel, Hagozo Mechavero Shave Pruta, Vinishpalo. Both say, if I steal from my friend, it's Shave Pruta, and I swear that what? I did not steal it. What's the halacha? Yolichenu acharav afilu l'madin. I will say that's the chiddush over here. Can you imagine this? What the Mishnah is teaching me by Gezel Rabbos is not just that stealing a pruta or more is significant. What it's saying is, if I stole a pruta or more, right, a pruta, and I lied about it, I swore that I didn't, in order for me to make it right, I need to track down the individual whom I stole from in an effort to return the pruta. That's the chiddush of the Mishnah. Next, Aveda, Shaver Pruta Chayiv L'Hachriz, V'af Agav Dizal. I will say the chiddush of the Aveda case is what I was saying. This is actually quite fascinating. That what happens in the following situation? I find an Aveda. I find a lost object. And watch this. When I found it, it was worth a pruta. Then what happened? It depreciated. So now it's pachos mishave pruta. What is my chiyuv in such an Aveda? So we'll say the halacha is that since it was worth a pruta at the time that I found it, therefore what? There is a chiyuv of hachraza, there is a chiyuv to announce it, even though it subsequently depreciates. For Levi, my time with Otani Aveda, Bepruta. So Levi, why doesn't he include the case of Aveda? Then Aveda has to be at least worth a pruta. Why doesn't he include that in his listing? Tana le Gezel. Well, the truth is he doesn't have to because he includes the case of Gezel. And once you say that you're only chayiv for a Gezel that's worth a pruta, that tells you that what? That a pruta is the minimum share of significance. Once I know that by Gezel, I could apply that to Aveda as well. Milo katani Gezel, the katani yeshivas hadayon. But one second, that's not true. Levi, you still included both Gezel and yeshivas hadayonin. So why do you need both of those? Yeshivas hadayonin, it's trichalei da'afuki midrav kathina. I will say, listen to this. Because no, Levi needed to include yeshivas dayanin in order to exclude the position of Rav Katina. What did Rav Katina say? Rav Katina will say, this is wild. Beis din niskakin afilum the pachos mishaber pruta. Both say, why don't you do Rav Katina? Rav Katina holds, first of all, can you imagine the sheer volume of cases then? Right? I mean, Rav Katina holds that Beis din adjudicates even in cases of pachos mishaber pruta. Both say, you know, by the way, that, you know that it's interesting. You want to say, like, what's the svara of that? What's the svara that you should shav pruta? So you know, the Gemara brings out, Rashi HaKadosh quotes it, that in the Torah says, "Vatimalei ha'aretz chamas," by Dor HaMabul. So Rashi says, one of the things that Dor HaMabul did, that they did, generation of the flood, is they were Rishayim, but they were also Chachamim. So what did they do? They went ahead and they would always steal pachos mishave pruta. Pachos mishaver pruta. That's what they would do. So why? Because again, if I steal pachos mishaver pruta, then what? Then what am I got? But imagine just the following. If you steal pachos mishaver pruta every single day, right? Or a couple of times a day, you could amass for yourself, and I'm not encouraging it, but you could, you know, you could amass for yourself a pretty nice fortune. So I say, so meaning what's the pshat? The pshat, so why would Rav Katina say that Bezin has to adjudicate even pachos mishaver pruta? Because we'll say, what's the musr? The musr is that sometimes when we do negative things in life, so it doesn't come yesh me'ayin. It doesn't come somewhere. It doesn't come from nothing. The negative things we do in life are often a composite of smaller little missteps that occurred along the way. And when I don't correct the smaller missteps along the way, those smaller missteps ultimately combine into huge mistakes. That's what happens in life. I could commit a whole bunch of things that are pachos mishaver pruta on their own, maybe they're halachically or hashkafically or spiritually negligible. But when you put them together, when you string them together, they lead to sometimes spiritually catastrophic results. Rav Katina says, therefore, again, in a society, Beis Din is going to adjudicate even pachos mishaver pruta. Why? Because if you don't nip pachos mishaver pruta in the bud, it becomes yoser mishaver pruta very quickly. And I will say, it's an incredible musr for life as well. We all live with inconsistencies. And sometimes we don't feel a need to address our inconsistencies because we say, it's pachos mishaver pruta. Right? Famous, I'm not going to Gehenna for this. Right? Maybe for that. Right? I'm going for something else. Right? But this is not going to be what condemns me in the afterlife. Right? It's pachos mishaver pruta. Well, in a vacuum, that might be right. But you know what? When you live a lifetime of pachos mishaver pruta, it doesn't end well. Because those pachos mishaver, you know the halacha, pachos mishaver pruta is mitztarif. That's the halacha. Right? If you take a pachos mihir and a pachos shunir and a pachos mihir, it's mitztarif to a shaver pruta. It's important for us to address even the small things in life before they become something bigger. Says the Gemara, the lady my time lo katani hektish b'chulin. So my time look at any hektish. So why doesn't Levi include the case of hektish? Meaning, why doesn't Levi include the case of ultimately again that if you get hana'ah, if you get hana'ah from hektish up to a pruta's value, that it's mila? Because Levi bechulim kamayri bekachim lo kamayri. Because in Levi's list, he's only dealing with hektish, not with chulin. Sorry, right? He's only dealing with chulin, not with hektish. Ela tana didan the kamayri bekachim nisni maiser bepruta. Aye. So 1 second, our tana, who is dealing with Kachim, why doesn't he also go ahead and include the case, ultimately, again, of Meiser Bepruta? What does that mean? That goes back to our previous Gemara, which is that you can't be Poda, you can't redeem Meiser that is less than a Shaver Pruta. Why doesn't he include that in the Mishnah as well? To which the Gemara says, because we'll say ultimately the Tana of our Mishnah holds that when we talk about that you can't redeem Meiser for less than a 50, remember we had the Machlokas on Wednesday or Thursday, about when we say that the Meiser has to be Shaver Pruta, is that the Meiser itself, or is that the Chomesh of the Meiser has to be Shaver Pruta? So our Tana holds that it has to be the Chomesh, therefore he doesn't include it in the Mishnah. But listen, Chomesh Meiser Bepruta, so I don't understand, so why don't you just say that in the Mishnah? Why don't you just say that you can only redeem Meiser Sheni if what? If the Chomesh is worth a Pruta, to which the Gemara answers, Bekarna Kamari Bechomesh Lo Kamari. Because no, the Mishnah is only dealing with Keren situations, principal issues, not secondary principles. So not secondary amounts, says the Gemara. All right, Gufa. So let's go back to what we said before. Beis Din, according to Rav Katina, even deals with pachos mishaver pruta cases. I be massive rava raises the kasha. Ve'is asher chata mina hegdish yishalim. We'll say the pasuk says ve'is asher chata mina kodesh yishalim. That which you sinned from the kodesh, you should go ahead and pay. So in other words, we'll say in this context, what this means is when you benefit from kodesh, you should go ahead and pay. So we'll say amud beis l'rabos pachos mishaver pruta lihishavon. This teaches us what? That halacha lemaisa, even if you went ahead and you benefited less than a shavar pruta, you're obligated to pay that back. But when is that so? Lekodesh in avala had yot lo. But we'll say, again, the Torah goes out of its way to say, yes, pachot mishavar pruta is significant when it comes to hektish, but not when it comes to head yod. Now, we'll say that seems to be a kasha on who? That's a kasha ultimately, again, on Rav Katina, right? Because Rav Katina was ultimately the one who said that Bezin in the Tzvakin Afid Lepachos is Shavar Pruta, even in what? Seems to be even in a case of Chulin. But yet, again, it seems to be clear that Pachos is Shavar Pruta is really only legally enforceable or only have an obligation to pay back only in Hegdish, to which the Gemara says, Ela'i Itmar Haki Itmar. This is what you should say. I'm Rav Katina. Oh, we'll say now everything comes together. Because we'll say, remember our kasha that we had? Is Rav Katina really saying that Beis Din sits, that Beis Din it goes to session, even in a case of Pachos Mishavar Pruta? That's going to be a huge volume on Beis Din. We'll say, often those cases are not even quantifiable. So what's the pshat? To which the Gemara says, here's what you have to say. Ela'i etmar ha'chi etmar. Amar Rav Katina, here we go, we'll say. Im huskiku Beis Din l'shavar pruta, gomrim afilu l'pachos mishavar pruta. Oh, we'll say what it means is the following. This is kind of like, you know what it reminds us of? Right, it reminds us of Gilgul Shavua. Gilgul Shavua. We'll say, remember what Gilgul Shavua is? Sometimes, there are certain things for which you cannot generate an obligation to take a Shavua. But what? Once you are already taking a Shavua, we could cause that Shavua to devolve upon other things as well, which normally themselves could not generate an obligation for Shavua. So what the Gemara is suggesting is, our Kaftina says is the following. Now, look is, Beis Din only can be called to session for a claim that is a pruta or more. But once the litigants are in Beis Din for a claim that is a pruta or more, then what? Then Beis Din could hear the other small claims item as well. In other words, once you're already in Beis Din, once you're already in the docu, once you're already in the system, then Beis Din will even hear your pachos mishavar pruta cases as well. So im huskiku Beis Din l'shavar pruta, kol mafila pachos l'shavar pruta, tchilas hadin ba'inan pruta. So really what it means is to get to court. In other words, to call the court to session, you need a claim that's what? That you need a claim that is worth at least a pruta, but Gemara din lo ba'inar pruta. But I will say, once you're in Beis Din already, so again, Beis Din will even hear your pachos mishava pruta case. That's a Rashi. Gomer na'afilu b'pachos, emchaz rashini v'tal b'pachos shara pruta, kodim sha'am du Beis Din misham niskakila. So we'll say, once the litigants are there, if one of the parties says, wait, Dayonim, before you leave, I have another claim. It's pachos mishava pruta. Once Beis Din is already in session, we'll hear the pachos mishaver pruta claim again. Says the Mishnah. We're almost there. Says the Mishnah. Chamisha chumshin hein. There are five cases of chumash. What are the five cases of chumash? So says the Mishnah. Ha'ochal truma. Here are the five cases. Ha'ochal truma. If somebody, this is a non-kohen, who eats truma, the halacha is, not only does he have to pay back the principal, but he has to pay back an additional fifth. Next, Trumas Meiser. Remember again, the Levi gets Meiser. And when the Levi gets Meiser, he is obligated to separate out Truma from that Meiser to give to the Kohen. So if a Yisrael goes ahead and accidentally eats Trumas Meiser, again, he has to pay back principal plus what? Plus the one-fifth. Next, Utrumas Meiser Shel Dmai. Now this is interesting. Remember, we learned about Dmai in a number of different Masechtos. So what's Dmai? So remember again, I get produce from an Amaretz, from someone who's unlearned. So there was a takana that essentially said when you get produce from an Amaretz, you cannot assume that it's tithed. So essentially, you have to fully retithe it. We will see there's one exception to that, which was what? What we call Truma Gidola. The assumption was even Ame Haaretz separated out Truma, ultimately again, for the Kohen. It's the rest of the tithes that we're a little bit more concerned about. So let's say one goes ahead and eats Trumas Meiser of Demai. Same thing. You'd have to pay back the principal plus the fifth. Vachala. I will say, if I accidentally ate the chala, which is the portion of the Kohen, or Bikurim. I accidentally ate Bikurim, first fruits. The halacha is Mosif Chomesh. Most in all of these cases, I have to pay back not just principal, but I have to pay back the fifth as well. So we'll say, what's not to Ravai? Again, beautiful case. What's, remember again, person plants a vineyard for first 3 years. What's the halacha? Well, can't eat it. Arla, right? By the way, it's not just vineyard, right? But vineyard has this extra halacha of Natar Revai, which is in the fourth year. In the fourth year, it's yours. You could eat it, but what? You have to eat in your shlaim. It's almost like Meiser Sheni. It's pretty much like Meiser Sheni. So what happens? Hapode Natar Revai. If somebody redeems their Natar Revai produce, Meiser Sheni Shalo, or you redeem your own Meiser Sheni. Why did it say Shalo? Why did it say Shalo? Because remember again, we learned that there's a workaround in the system. If you want to avoid the fifth, what can you do? Have someone else redeem your Ma'aser Sheni for you. That's why it says Ma'aser Sheni Shalom. So we'll say in these cases of redemption, right? Most of Chomesh. You have to add on an additional fifth. Va'apodes hakdesho. Similarly, if you redeem your consecrated items, most of Chomesh, you have to add on an additional fifth. Hanene shever pruta min ha'hekdesh, most of Chomesh. We'll say if you get a pruta's benefit of Hekdish, which also has another name for, another Mi'ila, you commit Mi'ila, not only do you have to repay back principal, but you also have to go ahead and pay back the fifth. And if one goes ahead and steals from his friend a pruta's amount, the Nishbalo, and he swore falsely, Mosif Chomesh, he goes and adds on a fifth. We'll discuss that case as well. Says the Gemara, Amarava, Kashi Rabbi Lazar Chumas Meiser Sheldmai. So we'll listen to this. So Rabbi said, you know, whenever Rabbi Lazar would learn this Mishnah, he was always especially bothered by this case of Chumas Meiser Abdmai. So we'll say, remember again. So what's the case of the Mishnah? So essentially, I go ahead. I have Demai produce. I go ahead and I give it over to the Levi. The Levi went ahead and separated from it Chumas Meiser. What happens? I go ahead and I eat it. I, the Yisrael, eat it. What's the halacha? I have to go ahead and, or the Levi, it doesn't just have to be me, go ahead and I pay back the principal and the fifth. Now, both I understand, Demai is Dirabanan, right? Meaning, Midda'oraisa, we assume that people go ahead and tithe their produce. Midda'orabanan, there's an extra gzera on Ameha'oretz. So, the Gemara says the fine. So, I will say, so now what we're saying is, you have to pay an additional fifth on something that is essentially biblically okay, but rabbinically problematic. So asks Rabbi Lazar, did the rabbis try to make their halachas as strong as Doraisas? In other words, they're both like, this idea, so essentially, it's another way of saying, like, you're piling on a lot of stuff over here, meaning, your midoraisa, this produce is assumed to be tithe. So I understand, if you take biblically untithed produce and eat it, you have to add on a fifth. But here Rabbi said, you're taking, if I eat Trumas Meiser of Demai, so are the Rabbanan so machnir and their halachas that I'm going to have to pay back not just principal, but a fifth on something that is only rabbinically problematic? Is that the level to which they go? To which the Gemara says, first of all, look at Rashi, Asukacham Chizuk, Lahosif, Al Trumas Meiser, Shal Demai Chomesh, Shein HaFrashas, Elamid Reim, the obligation to separate is Lamid Rabbanan. Do the rabbis go so far? And the answer is, yes, Amrav Nachman, Amr Shmuel, Haman and Rabbi Meir. Yes, this Mishnah reflects the view of Rabbi Meir. Because what does Rabbi Meir say? The Amr Asu Chacham Chizuk L'Dereim Kishal Torah. Yes, when the Chachamim legislate, Lo Rabbi say, why they legislated their laws like Doraisas. Rabbi say for very good reasons. Why? Because it is human nature to push the envelope. And it's human nature to always try to walk the line between that which is right and that which is wrong. And the Chachamim therefore created a very strong rabbinic infrastructure so as to ensure that people do not go ahead and deviate. Now both sides, now you understand by the way, they did that and you know what? Here's the amazing part. What's the amazing part? Still doesn't work. Right? Meaning, again, people still push the line, right? And people still go ahead and violate. So again, we see what happens. We see what happens now, even with a strong rabbinic infrastructure. So imagine what would happen without those halachas. So Rose, therefore, the Mishnah says, this is the opinion of Rabbi Meir. Rose, listen to this. Desanya. Because what Rabbi Meir say? Rabbi say, with this case will end. This is going to take us to the end of the daf. Hamevi, get me Medina Sayam. So listen to this. If I go ahead and I bring a get from overseas, this is taking us back to our gittin days. Hamevi get Medina Sayam. Nasnula. So say again, quick refresher course, beginning of Maseches Gittin. So what happens, the Mishnah, first Mishnah in Gittin brings down the idea that if you bring a get from Chutz La'aretz, you have to Eretz Yisrael or really in Chuzar, it's all you have to say Befanei Nechtav or Befanei Nechtav, which very quickly just means what? That you are attesting to the fact that the get was written Lishma, that the get was written again for the sake of this man and for the sake of this woman. So watch this. Let's say a man brings a get from overseas. So, right, a shaliach delivers a get from Baltimore to Eretz Yisrael. And what happens? But he gives it to her. He never made the statement. Now, again, let's be clear. The reason why Chazal or the rabbis instituted this was because there was a concern that in Chutz La'aretz they were in Bikin L'shma. Right? They were not proficient in the halachos that the get had to be written for the sake of this man, the sake of this woman. Therefore, when the shaliach came, we needed him to attest to the lishmakait of this get. Bosai, midda araisa, do you need b'fayinachtam? No. Right? Now that's for a whole different, either that's because edi chasima karsi, edi mesir karsi, not getting back into it now, but suffice to say, for our purpose today, you don't need it. The rabbis came along, the rabbana came along and said, yes, you do need it. So watch this. Shaliach comes from Chutz La'aretz, Eretz Yisrael, he delivers the get, and he just never said, Fainachtam. So what happens? So the woman gets her get. She's happy. Why? Now she goes and gets remarried and she has children. What does Rabbi Meir say? Yotzi Vavlad Mamzer, the Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says, second marriage is void, and any children shared from the second marriage are Mamzerim. Why? Because according to Rabbi Meir, that first get is not good. Or that get is not good. Therefore, she remarried illegally, and therefore any children, it's adultery, and any children are mamzerim. V'chom nechom say, come on, no. Ein havlad mamzer. Chachamim will say, you'll see, by the way, the Chachamim agree in certain principles with Rabbi Meir, but disagree in the severity of his application. So the Chum will say, no, we're not going to make the children a mamzer, but what we will do is the following, Ketz Yasa. But even the Chum will agree, we do need to remedy this situation. So what should we do? Ketz Yasa, Yitlena Mimeno, V'yachzer V'yitnena La B'fnei Shnayim, V'yomar La B'fanei Nechtav U'B'fanei Nechtam. The Chachamim will say, we do need a second giving of the get. So what we will need to do is we will need to get the get back from her and to have the shaliach go ahead and give it back to her in front of witnesses and for the shaliach to say, b'fanei nechta b'fanei. So again, the Chachamim will agree that we do need to kind of re-give the get, but we will not go ahead and therefore say that the second marriage was adultery and the children are mamzerim. That far we will not go with this. Rabbi Meir, so both say, Chacham Shita makes a lot of sense. I understand. Rabbi Meir, Mishum Dlo Amr Lo Farnechta Farnechtan Yotzi Vahavlad Mamzer. Rabbi Meir, really? Really? Meaning, are you going to go that far? Because the Shaliach did not say Befanei Nechtam, but Befanei Nechtam. Therefore, you're going to say that what? That ultimately, again, A, the get is not good. B, the second marriage is illegal. And therefore, C, the children are Mamzerim. To which the Gemara says, In, yes. In Rabbi Meir, the Tame, Devram Hamnunim Shay Du'ula, Omer Hayi Rabbi Meir, call a mishana mi madbeah shatavu chacham and begin yotzi v'havlad mamzer. Yes, because Rabbi Meir is of the opinion that any time you deviate from the rabbinic structure of gittin, Rabbi Meir says you cannot play with the system if you change from what the chacham established. Ultimately, again, the get is void, second marriage is illegal, and ultimately the children are mamzerim. Rabbi say, now this may sound to you like a very severe shita, and it is a very severe shita, and we don't hold it to Rabbi Meir in this because we have the Chacham, but understand Rabbi Meir's Sura Rabbi say is, especially when it comes to getting, this is the very preservation of proper yichus is dependent on two things. It's dependent on marriage, and it's dependent on getting. And therefore, there is an absolute need to keep a very tight hold over these two things, because, again, allowing the system to fall into a state of disrepair can, chas v'shalom, really, really allow for the total erosion of familial lines, of familial yichus. Therefore, Rabbi Meir says that any time you go ahead and you change from the matbeah shelchem, which means from the coin that the chachamim coined, the halacha is yotzi v'avlad mamzer, the get is void, second marriage is illegal, children are mamzerim. So again, why are we bringing all of this down? Because the Gemara is suggesting over here that what? That our Mishnah reflects the view of Rabbi Meir. How so? Because that's why, that even if you eat Shumas Meiser of Demai, which is rabbinic, I will say, what's going to be the halacha? The halacha is not only do you have to pay back the principal, but you also have to go ahead and pay back the additional fifth. All right, so we'll stop over here for today. We'll pick up at the massive tomorrow. Shkoyach.